Halosive Tech Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We have got exactly 1 week
until our next 6 minutes from when this episode is airing. Dump jump date today.
I just hope to God that's your old iPad, Nick, so you can actually bend it.
I could. You know, actually, I might do that just to.
I'm so excited here.
And we got the merch. I finally remembered to put on my WWDC hype merch that I made. So
you made a shirt.
I made a shirt and it has my face on it. It's the only t-shirt I have that has my face on it. And y'all should go buy it because buy my merch.
You will not get it before the event. Let me be clear. So
you can select rush shipping, dated, I believe you can. So.
I had a thought about that design that you made,
yes.
Which ties back into the Apple Invite. I know, okay, let me be upfront. I know Apple does not do, like, Easter eggs that much with their event invites and stuff. They don't really reveal much from those things. But what would be perfect if they did decide to do such a thing, and I don't think this is what they're going to do, but we talked about the ARM MacBook being, like, an updated design.
Yeah.
Not just, like, oh, it's a MacBook, but it has an ARM CPU in it. Like, I don't think they're going to do that. I think they would, if they had control of the insides and the outsides, they would try to design something differently and be like, this is what we want MacBooks to be. What if it had Face ID, therefore the MacBook had Memoji support, and that's why the event invites had the MacBooks with Memojis behind them. And the reveal was, you'll be able to do, like, Memoji stuff on your Mac now.
As you can see, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a very slow week over at Talosive.
No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. We haven't even talked about the iMac yet.
I was going to say, Drew, good theory, but that's not what's happening. Apple
Again,
is just
I
like,
I don't think that's what's
cool
happening. I'm just
memojis.
Saying if they wanted to do an invite teaser, that would be a great way yeah. to do it. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, I'm all for Memojis. I actually use mine. Unironically.
Do you?
Unironically.
Legitimately? Okay, folks.
Well, let me rephrase. I think Memojis are ironic by design, but the way – so unironically, I do use them ironic. Like I'll – you know, when I want to do a Johnny Ive Trump or when I want to like do dogs and stuff and – or whatever things. I just send them as like – not as like on my face, but I use them as stickers when I go like
– Yeah. I think you know how when you unveil certain things on Apple's website and they put the lettering like – pretty freaking powerful with Memojis. They could yeah. put intentionally ironic, you know, designed ironically, but ironic by design. That's what it could be.
Ironic by design.
You should
I
go
like
work
that.
For Apple, Drew.
Mm-hmm. I could figure this all out. Know exactly what to. Whoever's job is to just put text under things.
I can fix
that
your
could be
problem.
My job. Right. So, oh, did you guys hear the iMac rumor?
Yes.
Dude, I want to hear your thoughts on this, Randy, because I know you are kind of fed up with your current iMac, and you've been tempted by a 13-inch MacBook Pro or in a 16-inch mm-hmm. MacBook Pro, but you haven't actually pulled the trigger on anything. But what do you think about these rumors? Would you get an updated iMac if it looked just like this iPad, blown up with a Pro display
We all know what
inside?
I think.
Yeah, who cares what Drew thinks? No one cares what Drew thinks. Randy, what
Drew,
do you think?
Drew, nobody's here for you. This is the Randy Show. The Randy and Nick and Show. No, just kidding.
With our guest, Drew.
And sometimes we'll have Drew here sometimes.
Bye.
Sometimes. All right. Now that the sex appeal is gone, we can focus. Ah, he's back. All right. So I'll tell you right now, let's assume that it comes with everything that we want, meaning the correct updated IOs, the display, curved edges, refresh rate. Pretend it has it all, okay? And they don't call it iMac Pro. They just call it iMac, and that's how they phase out iMac Pro, but it gives you all those features for 2020. I would throw my very last Apple stock at it to get it.
So okay. Yes, you're saying you would get it?
Hell yeah, because here's the thing. I'm disgruntled with iMac because of it's 5 years old, it's aging, and it's just slowing down. I love the screen real estate. I love the performance of it. I stream great. I can multitask with musical stems, doing podcasts. I can do all these things amazingly, and I have the iPad with the keyboard. That is my laptop where I take with me on the go, so it's fine.
Right,
I don't need a MacBook. I just preferred a MacBook because those specs looked more modern and updated. If this, if iMacs fixed it, hey, I'm fine having a studio setup still. Absolutely.
So your your goal is still not necessarily getting a mobile Mac. It's more about best spec for dollar available.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Mobile, because I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, mobile Mac would be ideal. It's a preference. It's preferred. It's not a deal breaker. It's not a necessity. And it only so happens that I was leaning towards MacBook for the sake of, hey, well, the specs are more updated. But however, I don't have an SD card reader. You only get like the four slots. You get more I/O with the iMac. So.
Well, we don't know. We don't know what the I/O is.
If anything indicates how it is on the Mac Pro and the iMac Pro, I have high hopes.
There is no SD card slot on the Mac Pro.
Well,
what? What?
I did not know that, to be honest.
Which, yeah, that's what
like
I mean by
graphic expansion card that is just like one entire PCIe slot for just like an SD card reader.
Yeah. Apple Campus.
That's why you got one of these babies.
A Quack Quack, but, the unofficial sponsor of Talosiv.
Yeah.
Just like
LumaFusion. They've sent me two of these now. One that I didn't ask for, and the second one that I did ask for, because the first one was broken.
Well,
but,
I mean, if you have extras, either way, Drew, I mean, hey.
If they got extras, hey, I mean, they can become the official sponsor. Why not at that point? But the thing that got me most excited about this report was Sonny Dickinson, which your reputation is on the line here. Okay, you're the source of this leak, and if it ends up not happening, I will never forgive you. I will never forget. I'm never going to trust anything you say, no matter how believable it sounds. He will be forever on my blacklisted. Like, do not listen. Do not. Pay attention, ironically make fun of on the internet, because I will not withstand getting this excited and this hyped just to watch the event and be like, we got rid of the fusion drives. Okay, next slide. Here we go. You know, I will lose it. I will lose it if that's what happens. So this has happened with several Apple events in the past where they get me hyped up right before. So I'm nervous about nothing happening, but the fact that within the Eurasian database, the FCC is filing another iMac. The fact that CoinEx said another iMac is coming. He didn't say when, but they confirmed it's happening. Basically, the stars are aligning for this to be real, but what stood out to me about the leak was iPad Pro design language. Because that's my favorite Apple product. That's the design I want every Apple product to become more like. And knowing that they want to take iPad Pro design language, and he also said Pro Display like bezels to the iMac, there's still a bunch that can go wrong. I mean, I'm worried about. I really hope they keep the Pro stand away from the iMac.
I was gonna say, get the new iMac without a stand for only $6,000 with the stand.
That guarantees a $1,000 price jump. I don't want that. I'm worried of them pricing it a little too unfairly, seeing how they did the Pro Display XDR. You know, my overall budget for a new Mac would still be somewhere around $5,000, so I'm not really willing to spend more than that.
Yeah.
That's why I was eyeing a 16-inch MacBook Pro that was mostly maxed out. But, you know, if I can be swayed if there's a brand new design that looks so clean and looks so much better than previous generation iMacs, I could totally. I could ditch the MacBook.
I have a question for you then. What if the iMac comes later? What comes first, timeline or specs?
Specs, because I'm not in a hurry. The iMac Pro is not.
That's where we differ.
The iMac Pro is not dying on me.
I might.
Yeah, you're in a hurry.
I might. If they say like coming early 2021, well, I'd be like, well, crap. I might as well just wait for maybe this redesigned 14 inch or 13 inch or whatever, or the 16 inch. Whatever. Like for me, it's like, I forgot how you word it. Most bang for your buck with specs, or however you said it. That's the priority.
Spec for dollar.
And if spec for dollar comes to the 16 inch first. Hi, my name's Randy. Here's my money. If it comes to the 14 inch. Hi, my name's Randy. Mi amo Randy. Here's my dollar. If iMac comes like, oh, pre-orders start end of June, we start shipping end of summer, then I'm like, hi, iMac. My name's Randy. Good to see you again. So, yeah.
I'm saving for a bunch of stuff right now, so I'm kind of hoping it doesn't come out till the end of the year. Because I'm okay with waiting.
Ah, but the truth comes out.
yeah but regardless, yeah, exactly, saving all that money. But at the same time, I can't, I will more than likely be getting one at least to review. As soon as it's available, I'll get one. But I can't confirm if that will be the one I keep. It might be a similar situation to the 16-inch MacBook Pro where it comes out so I get, like, the base model. But then later on, when I am in a better financial place to drop that kind of money, in that case, I will get the one I want with the specs.
Being so smart, Drew. Might, so mature. Bravo. Just, Randy, let's take a second. Congratulate Drew for making good financial decisions.
If he puts it on the Apple card, he at least gets 3% back.
Gosh! And I darn it, we're not talking about this again financing. For 4 hours.
And 0% financing, which means it's free installments.
Don't finance stuff. Yeah,
free installment, but I won't do that. I think that's a really cool feature, but I won't do it myself.
I know, it's so cool for something I have no interest in.
0% interest in that feature.
It breaks my fundamentals. Like, I so cool, I just don't care. My habits are more important.
I'm in the same boat. Yeah. I'm not willing to go into year-long debt over a computer.
For sure.
Not worth it.
Yeah.
Just for the mentality of it.
But Mr. Answeeney, on the other hand, when he opens up his credit card, he'll get some sign-up bonus. That's what they should do. They should do sign-up bonuses. But when Nick opens it up and then he's like, I'm going to get the iMac, I'm going to get
an
the
Apple
iPhone 12.
Card. They actually tried to do a welcome bonus a couple weeks ago with Walgreens. If you spent $50 at Walgreens, you got $50 back on your Apple card. And I was just like, no.
I bet like 5 people did that.
Probably 5.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Not
five.
6, but 5.
Yeah.
For a cash right. back type of cards, the bonus is normally up to like 150. So they're about 100 short.
Yeah.
I mean, Walgreens is a pharmacy. So some people probably knew they were spending medication. I've bought medication from Walgreens before. So if you knew you were going to be spending, like I knew a couple months ago that I'd be spending $80 there anyway. So I would have used it for that or something.
Okay, but let's talk about something besides credit cards because we did that last week. What do you...
Let's talk about...
iOS 14.
Let's keep talking about the iMac because I'm still focused around that.
Okay.
I might be willing to wait if they do another... Do you think they'll do another 6% cash back period like they did at the end of last
December?
Year?
Probably. I could see that being...
That would be nice.
They're too special. Nobody competes, not even Amazon Prime at that point. That's why I like the 6% thing because... There's
plus
always
refurbished?
What if there's a refurbished iMac by then?
Now we've hit all the check marks for a show. Refurbish. I did the face of Donald, the Don, and we talked about Apple Card, so it's a full show. We peaked way too early, 13 minutes in. Hey, so here's the thing.
Air power coming?
We're gonna go back to the card really quickly because 6% back on new products is a perfect incentive. For every time they drop a new line, because the one thing that I say Amazon Prime does hold over is that like they got 5% back on their things, and there is
paid. To be fair,
yeah, it is paid, but most people, myself included, is that's something that's already in our budget because it's like I do need it. So
I thought you don't have Prime.
I don't. My wife does, and I just use hers.
Oh, gotcha.
She pays for her own. One thing that like I noticed that side tangent, we have like split finances on things that we choose to do, but we bum off of each other. So I'm not technically wrong when I say I don't have Prime, but I use hers. But okay. all that to say that most of the times you do find better deals on Amazon when it comes to Apple products or Apple peripherals or accessories and stuff like that. And that's one of the reasons like I'm going to keep my Apple – or not my Apple. I'm going to keep Amazon Prime looming around so we can take advantage of those opportunities and stuff like that. However, Apple kills at the moment. There's a 6% cash back because it's like, oh, right. Well, simple numbers then. I could pick it up at the store if I wanted to, which I prefer, especially after the whole watch band fiasco. I don't have it anymore. You know, I'd rather pick it up at the store directly. And if I can have 6%, like, simple numbers. So, iMac, new anything, product line or services related, if they did some type of we're doing a special with this, I wouldn't be against it. Also being in favor for services, new or old, going towards this block period for the next 3 months. Yeah. We'll do this, and then it's like
6% was hardware only.
I know, it'd be really cool if they kind of expanded it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be nice. So let me get off the Apple card to save Nick here for a second. I think it's
we
obvious
almost had
that
him,
with
Drew?
An iMac redesign. Almost had him. It's obvious that with this report saying, you know, solid state across the board for the iMac, you know, that's just assumed now.
Finally.
Thank God. It's about time. Yeah. They finally are getting rid of Fusion drives. And with a redesigned display, they have to be more expensive than the current iMacs, right? There's no way around that.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way they could keep the iMacs the same price that they are
now.
Well,
wait.
When
I would wager, I would hope, maybe not wager, but I'd hope that they keep the 5K and 4K panels the same, and they don't do any special Pro XDR things. They just change the bezels and the exterior design and upgrade the specs. That's all they need to
do. You don't care for HDR?
We don't need it because Pro Display XDR, if an iMac Pro 2020 version has a Pro Display XDR inside of it, then they're going to have to at least start that at like $8,000 to $9,000, like minimum, just so that they don't degrade the $4,000 Pro Display XDR.
Remember Tom Haverford on Parks and Rec when he smokes the cigar? I do not like this. That would be me. I do not like
this. I don't have a cigar on me, but here's my...
But,
yeah. There you go.
If the current 21.5-inch iMacs are starting with 1 terabyte hard drives, not even Fusion drives, there's no way that the new iMacs, if this rumor ends up being true, there's no way they can start at the same prices. So my assumption is that the prices are going to be higher than what they currently sit at, even for the 27-inch, which all of which start with Fusion drives by default, not SSDs. And if SSDs are becoming a standard thing, then I would expect this would be a good topic for the podcast because I want to see what your guys' guess
is.
My personal prediction.
We don't need to save it for the podcast. We're in the podcast.
The base model. I was going to talk about this elsewhere, but whatever. Okay, the 27-inch iMac. 27-inch iMac. That's redesigned will start, I think, at $3,000.
Oh, gosh! Then, the current one starts at $1,799.
Yeah, but that's with a 1 terabyte Fusion drive and old specs that are a year old, 2 Thunderbolt 3 ports. This is a giant redesign and SSDs being included with the new GPUs.
The maxed out non-custom configured 27-inch is only $229.
That's not maxed out. That's the starting price for the high end.
No, non maxed out. The high end non maxed out one is not even $3,000.
But that one still comes with 8 gigs of RAM and a 2 terabyte Fusion drive, which a Fusion drive is mostly a hard drive, and that's gone. We're ditching that.
Okay.
So to even get that model to an SSD, it takes it to $2,400. And again, we're talking redesign here. So I'm saying 27-inch, $3,000, which is in my budget. I'm good with three. But if the smaller configuration is getting updated, because Macadakara talked about there being like a 23-inch iMac, so it sounds like they might do something similar to the iPad Pro, where the smaller version gets a bigger display, but the bigger version just gets a reduced form factor. That's why 12.9-inch stuck around. Then I would say the smaller model can start at like $2,000. And that way... The iMac Pro gets phased out completely because this is just going to be the iMac lineup now. There won't be an iMac and an iMac Pro. And if you want, and I know there's a bunch of people when I talked about this who didn't get the point. I was so excited for the iMac, and I got a bunch of people saying, but you can't upgrade the internals. It's not modular. How are we supposed to repair the displays on this? I'm like, that's not the point. You have your Mac Pro. You want your upgradability, you want your modularity, you have your machine. You had your time to shine, that's it. This is the time for beauty. This is the time for design scheme. This is the time for refresh. We don't care about upgrade. iMacs are not built to be upgradable. Yes.
You had your moment, that's mine.
Bye. I did not buy iMacs so that I could upgrade them later. You buy them because they have the components you need for the life of the product. They look good. They sit well on a desk. They have decent specs. That's what the iMac is for. You don't build an iMac so that it can be super repairable and modular.
He made a face at you.
I'm looking at the specs here on the 21 and 17 inch iMacs.
Old specs.
There's no way. Yeah, the old specs, obviously. There's no way they're going to start the small one at $2,000. They might start the big one at $3,000, as much as I don't like that. They might start the big one at $3,000. But just think of the jump from Mac desktops. If you know you want a Mac desktop, you go from Mac Mini, which, you know, around $1,000, $1,200, depending on which configuration you get, all the way up to $2,000 just instantly. They need that transition. And the Mac Mini doesn't even have the display or anything in it. So, you know, you have to...
Wrong.
Well, pray tell. How so?
Rag.
Talk about the Mac Pro transition.
Rag.
We went from $6,000 being the maxed out Mac Pro to suddenly being the starting price of the Mac Pro.
It's the Mac Pro, Drew.
We went from
not the
6K to 50K in one announcement. Now it's twice, like five times, 10 times
more
expensive.
But the Mac Pro is specifically designed for 0.00000% of the macOS population. And the
iMac is much bigger.
iMac is no MacBook Pro in sales and no Mac Mini in sales, but it has its
you,
much
sir,
larger...
You, sir, no John Kennedy. I saw where you were going with that. I knew that's what you were doing. I saw
Get
it.
Get your brain out of politics, buddy.
I saw it.
You, sir, need to get your brain out of politics.
Listen, I will pay $6,000 just to have a 1080p camera, because I got it 500
yes.
720. I'm
yes.
gonna jump through this camera. If there's another 720 and you make me pay anything above 2000, I'm screaming.
No, there's no excuse, especially if it's adopting the iPad Pro design language.
Yeah,
they
if you're gonna
get
modern redesign, you better modern redesign your camera.
No excuse.
No excuses.
So, Nick, what do you think the prices will start at?
I think $1,500.
Yeah, after saying it can't be two.
I think $2,000 is probably a good guess. That's not what I want it to be, though.
Well, I mean, I want it to be $1. But...
Me too. Elon sold his house for a dollar, so why can't Apple just sell iMacs for a dollar? Come on, Tim.
Don't you know the iPhone costs one penny to make? Apple just profits the rest,
right?
That's how it works.
I'd say $1,500 for the 21-inch base, base, all the way base. And
that would be
$2,000 for the 27-inch. So about $300 more than both of the current bases.
So you think $2,000? That's so close for the 27-inch, though.
27-inch, yeah, that's $200.
It
yeah.
currently starts at $1,800. Do you think they can design the entire thing differently, add SSDs as standard and new GPUs, and only increase
so,
it by $200?
Drew, the iMac never changed. It hasn't changed in 10 years or whatever. They've been using this exact same design, this industrial design. They've paid off all of the very expensive development work that they put into this. And now they can take all of that savings that they had and invest that into a new design that will last for another 10 years.
That didn't work with the Pro Display.
God. No one asked about the Pro Display, Drew!
I'm just thinking, company that charges $6,000 for a standalone monitor, how they're going to get away with $2,000 for a 27-inch iMac... I mean, I want it to be true, but I haven't.
I'll be completely honest with you. If we just get a cinema display again, exactly the same, just modern, I would be okay with that.
Me too.
You mean just iPad Pro-sized bezels on a 27-inch panel?
If you gave me a legit cinema display and the bezels are just as thick, but it is just 2020 version of cinema display, I'd be okay with it.
What makes it 2020? The bezels are the same.
No.
The screen.
The screen resolution. Yeah.
Oh, just 5K?
Yeah, like, I never had an issue with the cinema display at all. Obviously, you don't either, Drew. And if you gave me, like, I guess what I'm saying is I don't care so much. Give me the thinnest bezels. Just give me the best specs. I don't think redesigning, like, the aesthetics of it, I don't think that's where your money's going to go to. I don't think they're going to increase the cost just based off of that. I think that the cost is going to come based off of everything that's happening in the display. Now we have better color accuracy. Now we have a quicker time of this and that. And you could take your Apple Pencil one day. I doubt that's going to happen. But my point is, like, all the...
That'd be cool.
Yeah, take that, Microsoft Studio. Then we get our Apple sheet back. So I would say for the price, I think the 27-inch would probably... starting, I would see it closer to, like, maybe 2700, I would say. I feel...
Well, see, if you think about it, as these new iMacs that could be unveiled are not just replacing the old iMacs, they're also supposed to be replacing the iMac Pro. They're kind of refreshing the whole lineup. Mm-hmm.
I'm also comparing it to the higher-end MacBook Pros with the 16-inch,
yeah,
which is why... like
16-inch starts at 2400.
Which is why 27, so. I got to make it more competitive to, like, here's why this is what you get for $300 more. This is all this extra stuff that you get, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I can see that. Yeah, that works. I somewhere between 25 and 27 is what I see it starting at. The same way I am competing it in my mind with high end 16-inch MacBook Pro and everything that it kind of comes with. While, like you said, yes, merging the two iMacs and iMac Pro and iPad Pro, they have a lot of blending that's going to happen into it. And I think a good, happy medium where it's like, okay, all things considering, that's a fair price point. I'd pay 25 to 27 starting and then upgrade as you go from there. And then the specs that you want to obviously add to it with either higher RAM or a higher SSD, that'll put you into the 4,000, borderline 5,000. I can see that happening. And then...
I think it'll go over 5,000.
You think so?
1,000. Well, yeah, with the higher spec.
Oh, one. Like maxed out?
The iMac Pro... Yeah, iMac Pro goes up well over 10,000. Yeah, 14. If you max it out,
I say maxed out. I don't think we'll see iMac Pro type of pricing again with max out because this is that happy medium.
Not quite as high, but I will overlap a little bit over 5,000. Like there will be, I think probably see it. 7,000, 8,000.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I could see it capping at 7. Only because it, with the ARM processor and all that, that would. If it doesn't come to iMac, imagine.
Yeah, that won't be on the iMac this year.
No, I know, but like, imagine when it does come, how the incentive of dropping the cost so much more because it's all in house and they don't have to worry about. I'm picturing how it's like our new iMacs for 2021 or 20 or whenever are now starting at maxed out. You're looking at they go up to 5,000 or something, and you're like, wow, this used to cost 8,000. You know, I can see. Future benefits coming from the fact that, like, that's the transition that's going to happen. This one, yeah, I see it capping at 7,000.
This is going to be like Marquez had his Mac Pro moment. This is my iMac moment. Ah, that's what it is. It's like they
all
cater
rise
to the demographic
for the
of...
new era of the Apple.
I can't stand up because I'm not wearing pants.
Wow. I stood at attention for you.
The iMac is more about better spec for dollar, and I hope that they remember that demographic. And it's like, yeah, you don't get upgradable, you don't get modular or anything like that, but you do get something that is worth the money easily from, you know, people using the iMac Pro. I might even break my rule about trading in the iMac Pro if the price is too high.
I could
if it's designed beautifully enough, I might trade it in.
But doesn't that one belong in your Talosif museum?
Eh, screw it. Oh well.
I like it.
Let go of the past.
Kill it if you must.
Kill it if you have to.
I like it.
If you must.
Like
must.
Let it die. All right.
So, the
what do you think of the ARM
27-inch iMac? Does that have a 1080p camera? I know the
no.
Mac Pro does, right? Because on their website, they just say iMac FaceTime Pro HD has 1080p.
No Mac.
Mac Pro has no camera.
Yeah, no iMac.
I'm sorry. iMac. Regular iMac, not Pro.
Nope.
iMac Pro is the only Mac with a 1080p webcam.
That is disgusting. What's
this FaceTime 27-inch HD iMac camera? Not.
HD is 720p to Apple.
That is a crime. That is blasphemy.
Tim.
That is appalling.
Listen to me, Tim. Go on YouTube.
That is
unnatural. You're watching this on YouTube, Tim. Click the little three dots and click 720p. I know you use a Pro Max, Tim, so you will notice the 720p difference. And Tim, just tell me, does this look good? The answer is no.
HD has changed definition over the years.
HD is now 4K. SD is HD.
I wish that could be changed, but you know the market has to keep their 4K. Marketing trends. But with 1080p 5G. On like everything now, I feel like yeah, that 1080p should be standard now because that's like on everything. So I don't know why we keep considering it high def when there's so much above 1080p these days anyway. But
it's now
at least
def.
YouTube acknowledged that 720p shouldn't be considered high definition anymore. So. One of their very few good choices in the last
maybe
decade.
Because of how big our screens are getting, so the pixels really do reflect it. I could see it. I can see an argument back when you had 3-inch, you know, camera or phone displays. You're like, oh yeah, that looks pretty crisp. I could see it an argument there. Today with you know iPad Pros and beautiful OLED displays and 27-inch, like absolutely not. It looks so blocky. It looks like I'm watching Minecraft. It's terrible. I hate it. Even Minecraft has cleaner resolutions with their blocky.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's an insult to Minecraft.
It is an insult. I'm sorry. I love Minecraft. But honestly, I feel like they know. There's no way Apple does not know about the 720 issue. They obviously know. It's been one of the feedback critiques for years. I think... I want to be a believer and say that they've just been holding off for the right moment to say, okay, guys, here you go, with these redesigns. But then when I saw what happened with the 16-inch, I'm like, it's still 720. I don't understand. So maybe he's like, oh, no, but with the ARM MacBook, here's where we could do – I keep – quit hurting me, Apple, because I keep like, this is it. This is it. It'd be so beautiful.
With the MacBooks – they have kind of the excuse of the display panel being incredibly thin so that you can't put the same size sensor
then
that
make
you
it
put
thicker.
In an iPhone or iPad. Yeah, that's what I've been saying, is just make it thicker. But with the iMac, you really have no excuse because the iMac is fairly thick as is, even at the top portion of it. And the iMac Pro proved that it's possible to have a decent webcam in your all-in-one. So if they're given iPad Pro-type design language, then yeah, there's no excuse.
The thinnest part of the iMac's webcam is still just as thick or thicker than any of my phones that can go up to 4K.
Yeah, there's no excuse anymore. They gotta move on. They gotta do it. But
like, even if you made that, it's like, oh, but we care about batteries. Like, iMac is plugged in.
Yeah, there's no battery.
But it's not going to get 5-star gold efficiency ratings.
They can't use that argument anymore. It just doesn't work.
That's another reason why I would go with iMac over MacBook is because the whole battery thing has always been like, I don't care. Give me the best, strongest, powerful display, and I'm going to plug that sucker in, and I'm okay, you know?
Yeah, you don't have to worry about battery health with it.
With the mini LED, I could see – no, mini OLED? No, mini LED, yeah, right?
Yeah, it's mini LED.
Yeah, I could see all this, what have you, is happening and stuff like that for it, and that'd be cool when that date comes, whenever that comes. Until then, like, juice up the iMacs, Apple, please, dude. What? Come on, like this. It's plugged in. Give it. Throw everything at it. Make that. Well, like you were saying, Drew. Like, just make it. The Mac Pro had its moment for internals. Make this one the thing for everything that we see externally, and don't throw HDR, so therefore it's not a Pro display. That's fine, but it'd be really cool if we had the refresh rate, like the promotion. Give me promotion. Give me the 5K.
Oh, yeah.
And give me
I'm not even
webcam.
Hoping for that. That would be amazing. But
that's the one more thing. Guessing. We got it wrong, gents. It was that.
That would be incredible, but I doubt that would happen, and I'd be okay if it didn't happen just because iMac is – 3 steps behind ProMotion. You know,
somebody asked me early in the week about about my thoughts on promotion. I think they assume that because Drew is very vocal about wanting it to everything, they're like, hey, how do you feel? Honestly, it'd be cool to have it. I don't care. And
I can't notice it.
I know.
But I will say that, like, I understand the benefit in the sense of gaming. When people want to game, if Apple Arcade wants to be taken seriously, they should really put it on the iPhones as well. And that's my argument for it, because gamers do care about that stuff. I'm indifferent about it, really. But I will say that if you put it in anything outside of iPad, so say, you know, rumored to come to iOS or iPhone, if you put it in Mac, if you put it in the watch, you know, whatever, if you put it anywhere, I'm all for it. But if you had to prioritize about promotion and something else, webcam, for example, for the Mac, I'm going to go with anything other than promotion, except for maybe like display, like pixels and stuff like that. Then it's like, all right, yeah, that's where it's like, hey, put promotion in there. But anything else, if cost is a factor, how are we going to price this thing? Kill promotion. If you can make this thing affordable and just give us what we need, you know, like the stuff that we've just been talking about for the last 30 minutes, that then promotion can die. Yeah.
Right. And we know Apple watches these.
Apple.
So
we love you. We love you so much that we're just so excited and passionate. 1080 at least. Give us 1080 webcam. That's it. Please.
Take your iPhone camera engineers. Tell them, hey, you can have a long weekend if you just stick the chip, the sensor and camera module into an iMac. That's all you
little
have.
Module.
Yep.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Easy.
Just make the iPad Pro bigger, put it on a stick, and call it an iMac.
Better yet, just plug your iPhone into your iMac and use the cameras as a webcam.
That would be a great feature.
Oh, I use it all the time. It's amazing.
Like built-in cam link or something.
That would be so cool. They should do that.
So there's been reports from Bloomberg that they're going to announce the transition to ARM CPUs at this keynote, but not announce any hardware. How do you guys feel about that? Does that sound believable? I mean, to me, I have a hard time believing Apple would have time on stage just to say that they're working on new CPUs and GPUs for Macs, but we're not going to show you any today. To me, that sounds like Apple, you know, 15 years ago when they did the PowerPC to Intel transition.
That's what I was thinking about.
That's how they did it back then, but this is the Apple that talks about Memojis and dark mode and, you know, new AirPod engraving option. Like, that's AirPods! WWDC. Yeah,
so
that kind of thing.
The only reason
that sound like they're on stage like, hey, everyone, we just want you to know all the stuff we're selling right now is going to be dated in a year. Anyway, next slide.
If you give us the Apple we have today because of COVID and the fact that they just haven't done a keynote since iPhone, I don't see it being brought up just for time restraints. It could be like on a splash screen, a catch-all of all the things. They're like, oh, new CPU. I could see that being like thrown out there, but I don't think dedicated time would be allotted for it unless they it's already in the works.
They like, have hardware.
Like, it's happening. It's like, listen, here's what's happening coming forward. Expect it to come out later this year or whatever, and they just show it, and then they do that. It's not the coming to future products. Like, it's coming later this year on said product, and then there's that. I could see them just talking about it if it was okay. I said they would pass it because they run out of time. Just the fact that they have more things to cover ground this time around, that's why they would pass it. Mm-hmm. I could see them talking about it if there was something very substantially different worth noting for software purposes in Mac OS now. Like, hey, with the new Mac OS, blah, 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 only possible with the new ARM processor, which you'll be seeing later this year. I could then see that it being like thrown out there like that, and that's how they would cover ground.
I feel like they'd rather showcase what it will be on, because
I agree.
You want to avoid the Osborne effect, which essentially means don't hype something up that's coming out next year because it'll kill your sales now. Which is also why I believe the ARM MacBook has to be a different MacBook category, like the 12-inch just MacBook.
That's why they killed the MacBook.
Yeah, I don't think they could introduce it saying it's coming on a new MacBook Air or it's coming on a new MacBook Pro next year. Because if they did that, everyone would stop buying this year's MacBook Pro.
I agree.
If we knew, like, in 6 to 7 months, a new one's coming out, and it's going to be way faster, way better. No, why would I get a
But
MacBook
aren't we
Pro
doing
now?
That already?
And Apple doesn't want that.
We're already doing yeah. that now. Like, not us, like, us three, but, like, the collective people who have been biting their tongue, waiting for a new 13-inch, a new webcam, a new this. People, like, and Apple has commented on this. They know that people are waiting. And they say, it's like, guys, our focus is what we're releasing today. And that's how they try to yeah. nip it in the bud there. It's like, listen, this is the best we could do right now. This is our focus today. We're not worrying about next year. We'll get to next year when we get there. Mm-hmm. Here's what we're focused on today. But people are still doing it. Rightfully so. That's like, you're so close, Apple. We just need this a little bit more. And that's why I feel like maybe it would get announced for it's like, all right, you've waited this long. There's a certain group of people, I think much bigger than the Mac Pro category of people, who are desperately wanting these performance updates and stuff like that for their own, you know, category industry of what they work in. And this would be the time to do it.
So I got yeah. off the phone with Tim Cook last night. He was just we were just going back and forth.
Good morning, Nick.
He was asking me to critique the presentation, and I gave him a few little change the resolution.
Good.
You've been helping him good. With the Twitter videos, haven't you?
I have been actually. Yeah, that's going to be.
He's the cameraman.
Anyway, I think that they have to announce it on stage because it's dub and. This is a fundamental change to macOS in a way that PowerPC to Intel kind of wasn't. Like Apple shipped with the first Intel version of macOS or macOS 10 or Mac OS 10.
Just OS 10.
My goodness, that's yeah. lots of years ago. OS 10. They shipped a framework that allowed PowerPC apps to work on Intel hardware because their whole thing was macOS is. OS 10 has been living a double life for, you know, 2 years or whatever, and it can run the apps. But I don't think that's going to work this way. I don't think they want to add that overhead because the pitch there was PowerPC was not as powerful as Intel is. Look how powerful Intel right. is. It can run your standard PowerPC app plus the overhead required for the kind of conversion framework, the inefficiencies of mm-hmm. that. With this direction, I think that the, you know, Mac series of A series chips are going to be very powerful. You know, they're going to get good Geekbench scores, but iOS is fundamentally really one app at a time. Yes, okay, you can multitask. Yes, you can, you know, do four apps at once with a pip video or whatever, but you're not really taking advantage of all that you could on a Mac. Like, you can open up a million Safari tabs and a million Safari windows, have Logic open, have Final Cut, have mm-hmm. and it's all very demanding resources. Now, on Apple's side, they're going to do all of the efficiencies for their stuff. But with third-party apps, yeah. they need to get on board ASAP to get their apps working. Because I don't think... I could be wrong. I know nothing about this. Tim didn't tell me. But I don't think they'll be shipping a kind of it works on both framework. You know, you can still run old software for a couple years on it.
I don't either. I agree with you.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a clean cut. So because of that, they're going to have to say up on stage at DubDub, hey, guys, update your apps to the latest, you know, this new ARM-based framework because they're not going to work soon. And... because it's a press event, you can't just say that and move on. Like that won't fly anymore. It used to work back in the old days when, you know, Steve Jobs was up there and was like, "Yeah, we'll have Intel later next year." That's not going to work. Mm-hmm. What they're going to do, DubDub has a great history of doing kind of sneak peeks, is what they call them. The 2013 Mac Pro, the iMac Pro, the 2019 Mac Pro. These were all sneak peek products that we got very in-depth, you know,
months
specs.
And months and months before.
Yeah, months and months. But they didn't ship until later that year. So we got all of, and I don't think it's going to be quite as complicated as the Mac Pro or the iMac Pro. So I don't think it'll be the last day of December. But I think it'll be like a November, October product. But they'll announce it and show it off on stage. It's going to be some 12-inch MacBook-like
super thin,
redesign.
Super
light. Like even thinner than the old MacBook, just impossibly thin, still has a 480p
because that's
webcam.
What ARM is good for. ARM would be great to showcase, like, here's a machine that's super thin, super light, that is you're used to having crappy specs, but because of ARM, Now it has great battery life, great performance, and its only limitation will be software compatibility.
And the really great thing about, you know, kind of doing a sneak peek is it's really not going to do an Osborne
yeah.
effect. Never heard of that term, but yeah. I definitely went to business school.
It's referring to an actual story when they announced the next-gen Osborne that was supposed to be so much better than the current Osborne this company was selling that everyone stopped buying the current one that it drove the company out of business.
Oh, wow.
And they died.
Okay.
So that's the
that's why you've never heard of it, Nick.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you for the history lesson.
Because of the Osborne effect.
Anyway, so I don't think it'll really butcher any of their current sales because right now there's a big hole in their lineup. They don't have that. The MacBook Air, maybe, yeah, but the MacBook Air is more targeted at price-conscious people, not portability-conscious people because I remember back in the day, I had a 12-inch MacBook. That thing was impossibly thin and light. It was under 2 pounds. So
it was great.
Whenever on an airplane where they're cool. like, put your laptops away, we're starting to descend, I wouldn't have to put mine away because the actual FAA regulations is any laptop over 2 pounds has to be stowed. And obviously, if a flight attendant came and bugged me about it, I'd put it away.
Look at you, Nick.
I don't want to get in trouble.
Cheating the system. But
it technically was smaller than the requirement. And it was a great portable computer, and I loved that. And that's one of the reasons why I love the iPad
only
so much.
MacBook I could actually use in my hands because it was so small.
Uh-huh, you could thumb it.
I could
it.
Literally yep. type uh-huh. on it with yep. my thumbs.
I did that.
Because it was that light, yep. and you could just type on it like an iPad. Mm-hmm. And it was that the keyboard was like right to the edge. Like, the performance obviously was crap, but the design of it was really impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be a similar situation. And it's not going to be cheap. Like it's going to be $15, $17, $18, $2,000, something like that. It's going to be expensive because it's so thin. And it's going to be probably a little bit thicker than an iPad Pro, is my guess. Like the base will be.
I don't know if it'll be that much. I was going to guess $1,300.
Let's see, how much? It was $1,299 was the base model MacBook in its day. So maybe. I don't know. It's not going to be cheap. It's not competing with
the
MacBook.
It's a good incentive for selling. It's like, hey, and the price doesn't change. Like $1,300, I could see it being a good.
Well, because part of the advantage of going to in-house CPUs and GPUs is that's supposed to save money compared to buying chips from Intel and other GPUs and stuff like that. So I think. I don't think that's going to result in MacBooks getting cheaper than they are now. I don't think that's the end vision. They don't want to do an $800, $500 MacBook, but they want to just showcase that you can get better MacBooks for the same price. So the CPU and GPU performance of this 12-inch MacBook will be, I would say, better than our current iPad Pros.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like with, you know, once you have some apps that are running on it, like Final Cut and Logic and stuff, they'll handle great. But yeah, they will not support a bunch of third-party apps, and that will annoy people and kind of keep the MacBook Air and MacBook Pro as still purposeful within the lineup. There will be reasons to get those instead of this ARM Mac, but for those who are used to just doing everything first-party and they can live with the optimized apps, then yeah, it'll be perfect.
Yeah, I really think Apple loves the three-pronged approach to products. They have the cheap one. They have the portable one / mass market one, and then they have the pro one that, you know, is very good. They do this with iPhones. They do it with iPads. They've done it with Macs in the past. Currently, we just have the cheap one and the pro one. I think the ARM one will be that mass market, you know, impossibly thin, portable, very. And that's gonna help bridge the gap because then developers are going to see it, and they're going to be like, oh, wow, look at that. That's cool. And they can start imagining what their apps are gonna look like on that, and it won't be quite as nebulous as just saying, "Hey guys, switch your apps to this framework." At some point in the fall, there'll be something coming right up.
That just sounds so awkward.
I got a question for you guys. Would you
okay?
Would you consider?
Yes, I would actually. I would consider.
Awesome.
All right.
If the ARM MacBook is all this what we want it to be, and now with the inclusion of what's happening with the next Mac OS and updating iOS to where it's bridging that gap more and more, where there is more overlay while keeping them separate OSs. Mm-hmm. And say, for example, you know how we do our FaceTime calls like this on iPad because it's the perfect communication device for stuff like this. And
best Apple product.
And we get this on Mac. We get this exact same feature and everything else on Mac since they're updating iMessage and everything like that. If everything that we love about iOS came to MacBook in the sense it has that same fluidity and stability, would that become your new portable over iPad Pro with the keyboard, with everything else, since it feels like it would kind of cannibalize its purpose in the sense that, well, here's all these other benefits that you get. Now you get a pretty darn good webcam, hopefully. You get a darn good power with the ARM. And you get macOS, the most powerful PC operating, and that whole marketing shtick right there. And iOS is iOS, iPad is iPad. But then macOS on the portable side for what we use this for with our FaceTimes and stuff like this, for example. Mm-hmm. I could see me using that more than I would use the iPad at that point, honestly.
Really? I would not, just because the iPad is still, even if the ARM MacBook is all we expect it to be, the iPad is still so far ahead in so many other categories. For the fact that it's a 2-in-1, so that I can pull it off the keyboard and use it just for touch if I want. I got 120 hertz, I got Face ID, I've got rear-facing camera, I've got USB-C.
I have LiDAR.
You have LiDAR, yes. And by the time the ARM MacBook...
Had to put that on. It's on the t-shirt. I have to mention it.
Yeah, to bring it up. Good job with the camera cutouts, by the way. That's very good.
Took a lot of work.
To detail.
Love it.
I don't think the ARM MacBooks would be as versatile
as
the iPads. Hmm. So I still think I would prefer the iPad Pro. And by the time the ARM MacBook is shipping, the next-gen iPad Pro will be just around the corner, which will have mini LED or revived, you know, such and such. But I don't think the next ARM MacBook is going to have Face ID. I know I made that joke at the beginning, but I just thought that would have been a really cool way to unveil it. But I still think it won't have 120 hertz. It could at some point because the CPU is more optimized and it's made by Apple. So if the iPad can do it, why can't the Mac? Like, I think they might get around to that someday, but I don't think it'll be a first-gen thing. If they did, man, that would... That would put the other MacBooks in the lineup in a really tough spot. Like, you can buy this cheaper Mac and it has ProMotion, and the other $6,000 MacBook Pro doesn't. It's like, oh, shoot. I don't even know if it'll have a touch bar.
I don't think so. I don't think it will.
If the MacBook Air doesn't, yeah.
That's a pro feature. They're gonna
yeah,
save
I think
that beautiful,
right. They want to keep that on the pro
thing for the pros.
In fact, I think they should keep the pro naming away from the ARM MacBook and away from the new iMacs. These are just for everybody at reasonable prices. Don't go crazy. Don't need XDR. Don't need 120 hertz. As much as I would like it, you don't need it. And
he mumbles it. As amazing as it is.
Just for the record. Just for the record. I agree with you. It doesn't sound like 2020 Apple to just announce a CPU transition and nothing else. It doesn't. It'd be quite awkward, especially knowing there's not going to be an audience this year.
True.
It's already going to be awkward. Just to be like, oh, there's new chips being made. Okay.
Canned laughter.
Oh, my goodness. I just realized all these videos that Tim Cook's been putting on Twitter, it's like him practicing what it's going to be like in front of a no audience.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Do you think...
Watching his eyes read the teleprompter. That's always fun.
I hope it's not like the PlayStation 5 event where it's like 80 minutes of just demo footage,
and
then at the very end they showcase the new hardware. I'm guessing it'll probably be like the OnePlus event, which is a guy still on stage, but there's no audience, and he's just talking, and the flow of it, it's actually a bit more efficient in a way, because there's no pausing for the claps. You know, if you go back and watch old Apple events, it does make them like real and feel legit, but a lot of times they're announcing things, and in between announcements, the Woo! Audience starts clapping, and Craig's like, "And yeah." There's so many times watching last year's WWDC.
Do you think they'll still pace?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, they'll pace.
Yeah,
I would say there's probably going to be a few people. I think there's still. It's not going to be like the OnePlus event.
It's to talk more about iOS 14. Please welcome Craig Figuere. Craig?
Just hear footsteps.
Good morning. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't have that moment. Like,
that's
when
so
Tim
sad.
Walks out on stage, it's just, good morning.
Good morning.
Today we have a lot. See, there's a yeah. lot.
He might not do
a lot
the good
less
morning.
Fluff. Oh, that would hurt.
He just gets up there and says, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, Dub Dub always has a little comedy skit at the beginning.
It does.
I wonder if it's going to be COVID related.
Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it won't be comedy. It might be something talking about everything the world's going through.
Oh, I hope
through.
It's comedy.
COVID,
please make it comedy COVID related.
Well,
I can't
want it to be comedy.
News.
I'm just saying it might not be. That
I think it'll be ill-timed this month to do that. I feel like they'll talk about COVID and they'll talk about Black Lives Matter. They'll talk about all these things that is relevant today, and they'll cover the grounds. It's like, listen, right now is more important to understand why we practice social distancing, why we are more attentive to one another, that we enable you with the tools to keep you as efficient as possible. And I can see it
but
starting
only
off
at 480p, not HD.
I
you
will
can't zoom
screen.
In.
Screen!
Like, with so many people working remotely,
yeah,
we decided to update our webcams.
That's about time, Apple.
From 480 to 720. Thunderous applause.
So
that's full HD.
They will do. They'll do. Or they could do the Apple way of like with the piano. And then you start seeing all these people getting more creative in their home studios or home offices. And it's like, now imagine. I can see them being more inspirational.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's great.
You're getting me so pumped right now.
I know.
I'm thinking like so many home offices. How about a new iMac for you? it needs to happen now.
It does. We understand now more than ever is important to enable you to give you the tools that you need to work from home. So we're presenting the new HomePod.
You're right. That's going to be the running what? That's going to be the running theme around.
To help you get your work done this much more efficiently, we're introducing HomePod 2, starting at $499.
We understand.
We might get a new HomePod.
The capabilities that you need from home. We are so happy to introduce to you HomePod, the next
Pro.
Generation.
Right.
HomePod I think
Pro.
The running theme of all the new hardware and services of this event is going to be allowing people to work remotely better, and the Apple Card helping people in financial
situations. That's them addressing the elephant in the room, because like, we can't do this in person, guys. Here's why, and now we understand the importance. And therefore, we are giving you the control.
It's not $6,000 for a Pro Display XDR. It's just $500 a month for a year.
That's
not
all.
That
just $500 a month.
Yeah.
Just rent in some places.
When you think
places.
About the cash back, it's basically making you money. You can't afford not to have one. Everyone needs it.
I don't think that's how that works.
Randy's over there with his abacus.
Finance tips.
No.
Rug.
So back to the actual event, though. I'm hoping there'll be a crowd. Do you know what lockdown status or level they're at? Like, I think a lot of the country can have up to 250 people in a room as long as they're distanced and all that stuff, right?
The crowd,
if there are people, they will not be press.
They won't be press. No, they'll all be volunteer Apple employees who just wanted to come to the event. But I think Steve Jobs Theater is, what, 1,000 people? 250 is exactly a fourth of the capacity. So they could, you know, have people spaced out 4 seats.
Apple employees, maybe.
Yeah, Apple employees wearing masks, you know, spaced out 4 seats. That'll give some live audience, you know. They need to make sure they're all wearing, you know, darker masks, because if do the pan shot, it'll just be, you know, everyone's white mask just... blinding everyone.
You're right,
they could do that. You're right, they could do that, but I don't think Apple will risk it. I don't think they would like the image that would send, and they would rather be the company that's going the extra mile to be cautious and careful. So my guess is that there won't be anyone, and my other prediction is that the event is pre-recorded, and it's already been done, and they're just going to broadcast it like a YouTube premiere.
I could also see this happening. That is true.
I think it's recorded and edited, and they're just waiting to hit.
Tim was asking me the last night about the keynote, so I don't think they've quite finished the recording of it. So That's this
I think,
week.
Isn't that weird? Isn't it weird also now that, like, because, you know, you want to set the right image about, you know, health standards and stuff like that, that when they do the trade-off on the stage, like, they're not going to pass one another. Like, one's going to go out the back, the one's going to walk around. It's going to feel so lonely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it'll be weird. It'll be very different compared. And I personally don't think there will be an iPhone in-person event either this year.
No, the rate we're going, maybe.
I think Apple's going to just play it extra safe and just say, all of 2020, we're not going to do any events in person. And the next in-person event could be Dub 2021.
And then when we get our another spike of COVID in winter, then we're right back
Randy,
at this.
No.
This is the new norm. Welcome to the new decade.
I'm done
if it
with
means
this
more
decade.
Efficient keynotes, like I'm kind of worried about how much I might prefer this.
No,
because it might result in less awkwardness and less staggered. Like, and now you can
That's
organize
what
apps
I die
in this
for,
way.
Though.
And
I
less
love that.
Live
I
musical
love
that. Performances,
yes.
And you just swipe right up. Oh, let's switch to backup here.
Yeah, they can't have any.
And you get right in, and you get right in. See, it works. Let's try that again. And you get right in.
I love the authenticity of the errors and just the live of what happens, because it shows that, like, okay, yeah, this is, they're showing what they actually have right now, even though it's a demo product. Like, they're still showing it, and something that's going to be like this, if it's pre-recorded, like, it's all polished up, it has every perfect shot at all times, which is good for marketing, but then it kind of takes
away.
It'll
be nice eye candy.
For me, it just, but the eye candy's the ads, you know what I mean? Like, that's where they show it.
Which we need to be in, Apple. Please.
we are the eye candy.
Hello, have you seen us? Hello, you sexy people.
We got to make our ad look legit and make sure the tech podcast is featured.
Yeah. I like the idea of the when they do the keynotes and the demos, that it feels like you're right there, because hiccups and all, like, there they are. Now, do you guys want to see these cool demos or not? You need to turn off your MiFis. Like,
exactly.
I like the idea of like, okay, there's some hiccups, because it humanizes
it. It's fun
it.
In retrospect, but in the moment, I'll be honest, it's very cringy and awkward.
Yeah,
and I'm
but
okay if we don't have
when
those.
They broke the Tesla window, it did wonders.
That was bad.
It broke the internet, because then every news publication
was
publicizing
it. It's a living meme, and therefore it became
more.
Better. Face ID was that moment, like, you know, like, oh, it became kind of meme-ish, and look how well it has performed.
It was talked about for months. That one moment, that one hiccup on stage was talked about for months and months.
And
bad publicity is good
publicity.
And it's
so much fun. I love it. I love live events. The pressure on a person during live events. Remember Craig's first live demo when he was demoing, like, OS X Lion or something, and, like, his hands were shaking, and they had, like, a close-up on his hand on the trackpad, and it's just like, and his voice was all shaky. And I'm just like, you feel for the presenter that much more, because they have the pressure of thousands and thousands and thousands of people watching.
I don't want to feel for them. I want them to be doing great, and I don't have to root for them. That's, you know,
but
it's like
adds,
watching
it adds
your...
to the personal human interaction, and this year is already going to just not have any personal human interaction outside of
it's
the presentation.
It's like watching your nephew or niece's play, and they're getting their lines wrong, and you just start sweating, and you're in the audience. You're like, it doesn't affect you in any way, but you just feel bad. You're like, just say it. Come on. You can do it. And they're looking around at you for answers for some reason. It's like,
let's switch to
back
up
with.
Here.
You'll be fine. Like, I don't want to root
Seven
for them.
Score
I want them to be doing
4
good.
Years ago. No, Billy, no. Who's kid?
I might
like
this format more
kid?
Than usual. Well, let's go to backup here.
Thankfully, we have more than one kid on stage.
Let's go to backup.
I don't know. I'm gonna really miss it if they don't have a live audience and if it's pre-recorded. I think pre-recording it, maybe I could be okay. That's fine, but. Because we're not going to notice that much. Like, they're still going to – it's going to be paced as a live event, even if, you know, Tim is recording his at 3 p.m. and Craig comes in at 9 p.m. after work and does his section. Like, it'll be spliced together as, like, an event. So I won't really see that. But I don't know. Maybe I just need to get used to this new world that we live in or something. But, like, I'm going to really miss having a live audience.
I believe that we'll actually. I told you guys this before. I hinted at it, and I still. It'd be cool to see it. Their surprise. One more thing is like this whole thing was done using AR technology, and here's how it's done. You know.
We're not actually here. This is all just a CGI render that's done on a new Mac.
I think there's too much room for error if they do that in case the live stream's really spotty. Then yeah. People will blame
remember no, Samsung's it, like,
oh, it's the S10 live stream.
Yeah.
It's pre-recorded, like but everything that we saw that would be like normally the overlay display and stuff like that is the stuff that's like this has been done through the filters of the AR technology that we've made, and here's how. Like it could still be pre-recorded and have the AR demo happening. And I had a brain fart there. Did you know? I don't know if you guys watched the PlayStation 5 event, but
I did. I watched a little bit of Jordan.
You notice
stream,
how so. Some of them were not actually humans?
No.
Yeah. I was wondering that myself.
Like imagine so they
wait,
did
what?
They
the Singularity is already announcing products for us.
Yeah.
Well, so
just
they're
replaced me already.
PlayStation is working really hard on their VR technology as a whole, and some of them are just – and they're trying to show the power that these new consoles are going to have. Anyway, long story short, some of them, like, not humans. And it's like, wait a minute. It had that uncanny valley effect happening where you're like
– It did. I noticed it.
You're like,
we were watching the stream on Twitch, and I was like
– Yeah, same.
That's, this doesn't look like a person. This looks like a rendering.
Something feels off.
Samsung emoji.
So no, that's just terrible. The uncanny valley.
That's nightmares.
But this was like, all things considering, it's like it was enough. It was off enough where you go like, my brain says something's wrong here. Like that shouldn't. Like I don't know, something's not right. But it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So just not with people, but imagine Apple more or less just doing it without saying with no explanation, and they're just showing you things in a way that with AR. That later on they like, oh yeah, by the way, this was done with our technology. Not with people, obviously. That's just weird, but yeah.
That would be kind of cool.
I would like to see that. Something.
Everyone has Memojis the whole time. And then at the end they go, by the way, that was AR. That
what?
Wasn't actually Tim.
What? That's not a real tiger face?
You don't look like a Pixar character?
What?
Tim
wait,
Cook
you mean the dinosaur isn't real?
Oh, man. This is going to be different. It kind of just dampened my excitement for it. I was hoping for just like an hour and a half, 2 hours where I can just forget the world's literally on fire right now and just enjoy a good Apple event. But like, it's going to be so
no,
weird without
gonna,
the
this
crowd.
Is going to be packed.
It's going to be nonstop. It's still going to be packed, but like, I'm worried I'm not going to be able to get engrossed in it as much as I normally would because there's no live audience.
Woo, that sounds like a you problem, Nick.
You remember that Craig Federighi video with the iPad Pro and the Magic Keyboard you watched?
Yes, that was pretty sad.
No, you were mad at the Magic Keyboard and then you watched it and you were in love with it afterwards.
I was sad because they didn't post that on their website. It was on some Verge article 3 hours later, not years, but same
but
difference.
But it would be like that. For 2 hours.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like the fact
yes.
that they showed it in a video, but it would have been way better if they were on stage and had a live audience going, wow, it's the best thing ever. Then in my subconscious, I'd be like, wow, hundreds of people think it's the best thing ever. So I
guess
it's the
best
thing ever.
The only constant in the world, Nick, is that nothing stays consistent. And so
the only constant in the world is its inconsistency, is the quote
so,
I'm looking for. Randy,
be open-minded and flexible with the
changes. I am so open-minded. I am so open-minded, Randy. You have no idea. My brain fell out 3 weeks ago. I am so open-minded.
The Pro Stand unveiling made the audience laugh.
And then cringe. And then go, oh.
Yeah. See, we can't have that moment.
I want that moment, though. That's the best moment. That's what
you know
I
why I want
in.
That moment? Because it teaches Apple a lesson to stop selling crap like that and reword it. We're offering you a $6,000 display, $5,000 if you don't want the stand. Wording is different.
Or $5,200 if you want a vase mount.
Uh-huh.
That's how it could have been.
Plus the nano texture.
I hope you're right. I hope they learned from that, and I hope they heard what everyone was saying about, you know, the display looks good, but we don't want $6,000 monitors. Like they could check off both my boxes of wanting them to make a standalone monitor by bringing Target Display Mode back to the iMac, as well as redesigning the iMac to look good in one move. If they just updated the iMacs, and now it's like, yes, it can also be used as an external monitor, and also it's a computer at the same time, so you can do both.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
So
that's so cool.
If only.
What about iPad OS? Do you think they'll be making a lot of changes there besides the Pro apps?
I'm glad you brought it up. However, ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time, so...
No! we can ignore all of the typical rules we have because this is the show before Dub.
Well, multitasking might get updated slightly. External monitor support would be nice, but I haven't heard any rumors of it. But before we go, I have a Mac story to tell.
Ooh, I love story time. Story time with Drew. We need to get a little jingle.
Yes, story time. Speaking of iPad OS, my iPad saved my Mac this week.
Whoa.
My Mac OS Catalina was so crappy, although I don't know if it was Mac OS Catalina's fault. It might have been my camera's fault, that the iPad had to come in and save the day.
Wow!
Because the Apple Watch video I did about the Apple Watch peaking, I recorded
it. Watch that.
Like, okay, all done.
I watched
unplugged.
It. Unplugged. I'm your favorite
Thank
person,
you, Randy.
Drew.
Randy's an actual good friend. Hey. I plugged in the CFast card.
I was
to
too
Mac,
busy editing the podcast
Shh.
All by myself.
Drew was telling a story.
It was already posted at that point. Okay. The CFast card was in the Mac, and it said, "This drive is unrecognizable."
Whoa.
Ooh.
So I had no way to import it. So I unplugged the CFast card. I put it into the iPad. The iPad can read it fine. And I'm curious if the adapter is broken, so I try a different CFast card reader. And
there's no CFast card slot on this, though. Apple removed the SD card slot and the CFast card reader slot on this iPad.
Shh. Nick.
So the CFast card work with the Mac, but it does show up on the iPad. So my only solution is reformat the CFast card so that the Mac can read it, and then I would lose the footage of the video. Or use the iPad Pro to transfer the footage from the CFast card to the 5 terabyte external drive I just bought. Mm. And thanks to the Quack Quack, I could do that. Hmm. So the iPad moved the footage over and brought it to macOS. And once I plugged in the external drive back to the iMac, I could import it, edited the video. There were still a bunch of issues because I think the video file was corrupted somehow, which I think is partially to blame on the camera. But the Mac edited the video fine, but as soon as I tried to export, it was like, failed, can't export this video. And there were little artifacts and little glitches throughout the video that I had to cover up with B-roll and screenshots. So my solution, because Final Cut would not export the finalized video, was to screen record the whole thing in full screen. And then I uploaded it, and it basically worked fine. There were a couple of frames that glitched that was... probably five
Everyone's
or six
watching
in the whole
it on
video,
their phone at 480p anyway, so
exactly. So it, in the end, it ended up working, but it would not have been possible without
I watched
iPad.
That video on Apple TV. Not I don't have the I have the fourth gen, the non-4K, so I watched it right here as I was doing work, and it looked just as normal as anything else through my eye.
Looked normal.
Yeah, I liked it. The only way this story would have been...
That was a screen recording.
That's so cool.
The whole thing.
The only way this story would have been cooler is if you said, I moved it to the iPad and I edited it in LumaFusion. Yes, the old school.
No.
Old school Apple sheep is back, baby.
I didn't have that kind of time.
I would love just a retro episode of something that you do just to, you know... How not a how's it still in 2020 just for the sake of like you know old school retro since you don't have an attic unless you wanted to spoof it and make a green background or something just for retro purposes it'd be cool for you to do something like
I
that.
I will say if I do that again I will not tell you. I will tell everyone a week after it comes out.
Okay.
Be like by the way this video that was all on the iPad but no one noticed. So if
That's
I
fair.
Can do everything my iMac can do on the iPad then. Cool.
I know you're waiting for Final Cut to come to the iPad, but the point of my thing is that I wanted you to retro with LumaFusion because obviously when it happens for Final Cut
I didn't
Cut
even
on
use
iPad,
LumaFusion back then.
But
really?
Then
you
say
used iMovie, right?
I remember the iMovie thing, but I thought
by the time LumaFusion was a thing for the iPad, I had already switched to the Mac completely.
Oh,
so
well, then
when I was editing all my videos on the iPad, it was iMovie.
Then iMovie. Then do iMovie. I don't care.
So,
oh God!
Are you guys going to be installing the betas day one,
no.
or are you guys going to give it a break?
I don't know if I can.
Okay.
if I'm able, because the dev beta requires, I believe, a dev account.
We have a dev account still.
Oh, we have? Yes. Okay, then yeah. Then yes.
What, will you be putting it on your iPad? Like, I don't know. I'm kind of apprehensive. Like, I got extra devices, thankfully, this time. But I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, put it on your old iPad.
But the LiDARs and cool features are going to be on the new one. And I'm probably
they won't do anything with LiDAR.
I would not install the beta day one.
Not on my Mac.
I don't think I would do it on anything.
On the phone, yeah.
I would probably do it on the 10S. I would probably put it on the 10S since it's right there just to try it out. But the thing is, like, just historically, beta 1 has always just
been...
Wait,
you have an 11, right? 11
I,
Pro.
I have an 11 Pro and 10S. I have a 10S.
Oh, your draw device. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah. So, alternate reality, I never got the Pro. I just know that beta 1 has always been, like, borderline compromised, and I just don't feel comfortable anymore. I did it for iOS 9 and iOS 10, and it made me like swear off beta testing. To this day, I haven't done it. However, I'm willing to do it now that I have, for the first time in years, a spare iPhone. I might do it there, but nothing on beta 1. Maybe for iPadOS when we get to like beta 3 or 4, I would want to give it a go at that point, but I definitely want it to be roughed out and cleaned up. I know the rumor it's supposed to be just internal stuff.
Stability.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. That's promising, but still there will be bugs. There will be hiccups.
I've always done day one betas for the last 4 or 5 years, and they've never been bad enough that I couldn't do what I needed to. So I'm okay with it.
I remember iPhone 7.
I'll take my chances.
iPhone 7 Plus overheat. And it was crashing my phone, and it was the worst experience I've ever. I was like, "Wow, I'll never do this." And then when I got to 10, I was like, "When I got to 10, I started a clean slate because I was so upset." Where it was the first time I never restored from backup, and I just went clean slate. And the 10 series forward has been my new profile, just because 7 Plus upset me that much.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. No, I don't need any of this stuff as. Super bad. That's why I wouldn't do it on a Mac, because if the Mac isn't working right, I'm in trouble. Yeah. But if my iPad's not working exactly right, it's not the end of the world.
That's the debate I'm having with myself. Like, I want it on the nice new iPad to have all the nice new iPad features, but this show has to be done on the iPad Pro. There's no other way to do it. And that can't be compromised. And so I think I'm going to have to...
Yeah, maybe do it on the old iPad.
I know, but
I don't think the LiDAR
features
will be
worth it.
There's going
to be some, like, six or seven good LiDAR features that I'm going to want to try out.
Maybe one.
Be like, I have the hardware.
Well, here's what you can do. You could try it out. You don't have to do it day one. You could do it later or/and. It could be in between the shows. You could do it during the week.
Yeah. I'll have the IPSW files, and I can swap them around. But, yeah, I don't know. A lot of work.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. All ladies and gentlemen,
we will see
you at the event.
If there's enough news for an extra episode. But
We might do one if there's some kind of last minute thing, but we'll see. Anyway, thanks for watching, everyone. Take care. Have a good week.
Bye. Bye.
Slow week.
Stare at the camera. Don't make it awkward.
Oh, come on, guys. Just like a half a second even.